You're listening to Money Making Mothers with Carla Edwards, where we discuss the highs and lows of being a working parent, how to master the art of spinning plates, and to remind ourselves that just because you became a mother does not mean your dreams no longer exist. You can have it all.
Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Money Making Mothers, where I'm joined by the amazing Bex from LOH Lifestyle. Now, after the huge success of her own Instagram, she has set up a social media management business, still works part-time, and loves to create awareness for early menopause, which is something that she's gone through herself. Now, this episode is so honest and real, and I'm sure everyone is going to enjoy it as much as I did.
Hi, my name's Rebecca. I'm from LOH Lifestyle on Instagram. And yeah, I'm just here to talk a little bit about what I do, really.
So, how many children do you have?
Right, so I have two children, massive age gap. So my first one, she's 21. And she's also got a little Instagram account as well, but she's not as into it as me, which is bizarre because she's like, all her friends are like, oh, how do you do this? So that's crazy. So she's 21, and then I've got a 10-year-old as well.
Oh, bloody hell, big age gap.
Huge age gap, yeah. So Ella's like really independent. She's she lives at home, but she's saving for her own house. She's doing really well with that. Addison has been a little bit more of a challenge because he was when he was a year old, he was born and he got pneumonia, which left damage to his lungs. So for the first few years of his life, we're still doing it. We were in hospital like in October for a week.
Really?
Yeah, he's got like severe asthma now, left. They think probably from that, we don't really know. He's had loads of operations and all sorts of things. His little life's been tough, really.
And what's been like with COVID?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. And obviously with COVID, it's been horrendous. So we got the government letter that we had to shield. So suddenly none of us went out to work. I spoke to his specialist, and obviously at the beginning, because when he gets, he's been in intensive care three times with his breathing.
Oh,
so they sort of have to give him what's the blue inhaler? I can't think of it. The Ventolin. Like a normal child will puff it, they have to give it through his bloodstream to try and open his airways. We have been in a situation where they're saying they're struggling to get his airways open, all these kind of things. So yeah, that Ella was like the pitch perfect house, and then Addison was completely the opposite end. So yeah, it's been tough, and it's been tough as a working mum as well. I was once at the hospital when he was in intensive care, and I ran a payroll, for a big company, and I had to go back to do it. So I had to leave the hospital and go. And I came back to the hospital, and the doctor said to me, you need to get your priorities sorted out. Now, bearing in mind, we have to pay for the heating has to be on all the time for him. If he gets cold or chilled, his breathing, it affects him. So I was like, well, who's going to pay the bills? I still have to work, even though I am a mother of a sick child.
I bet that cut bad, that, like.
Yeah, because it was bad enough that I just left him in like an intensive care setting to go and do my work. But,
but the doctor coming back and being like, thanks, doctor, you made me feel miles better.
I know.
Freaking hell.
The mum guilt's not enough anyway, is it, in normal life, let alone that stage? Yeah.
Oh, bless you. Yeah, but you're right, though. It's like, what are you meant to do? If you need to do it, you need to do it. Like, yeah. Wasn't... Won't have been
because such a long-term health thing. I wasn't like I was off for 2 weeks and you can get parental leave and it's emergency. It's not an emergency, it's something that's just been ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. So what's the option? Do you quit work and never work again? Do you you do? And in the end, actually, I did have to have a year out because of my own mental health. It really affected me. The balance that every time that he coughed in the morning, I had to make that decision. Do I send him to school and risk him having an asthma attack again? Because that's what you just had them constantly. Or do I go to work? And sometimes I made the wrong call and sent him when he was ill,
Honestly, I know there'll be loads of people listening in the same position that I'm in now, but you just touch wood. You just take for granted that your kids are healthy.
Yeah. Ella, I get that. She was absolutely the picture of health, whereas him, we were in hospital in October. In fact, it was what I did a post of taking him out of hospital on TikTok in my hand. You know how we just messed around when we were coming home, and it went viral.
It got
views. Yeah,
I'll have to check it out. I love TikTok.
Yeah, so it was just something we were doing just to entertain him, really, because he's 10, and when it's breathing, they can't run around, they can't do anything, you know. So we did this sort of like coming home video on TikTok. And yeah,
is it on your Insta or is it only on TikTok?
No, it's on TikTok. Yeah.
Oh, send me it.
I will do. Yeah,
and I'll follow you on TikTok anyway. But yeah,
it's quite emotional because it was, you know, we've been in there all week. And he loves me being on Instagram and his friends and stuff. He finds it amazing, you know, as a 10-year-old would. So we spent a lot of time on my stories, just chatting. Because what else, you know, we've got nothing else to do. And it takes his mind off it, and it is hard. But it's all he's known, so.
And what is it that you, so that people not and are knowing a bit more detail, what is it that you do on Instagram? So how have you got so good on Insta?
Right, okay. So I literally am myself. And I know it sounds simple and everyone's like, yeah, whatever, but it's a bit cliched, but it's just the way that I wanted to be. So what happened was I met my husband. I was a single parent, so I'll start right at the beginning. I was a single parent to Ella. I left her and her dad, we split up when she was 3, I think. And then all those years, you know, I struggled as a single parent, and I didn't do anything because of the financial responsibility. So I rented a house. Everything was on me, you know, the whole financial side of it. So I literally worked in retail, which, don't get me wrong, I love, and I would love to go back, to be honest. I love the people, I love the, you know, like all the team, and I loved it. But it wasn't a career, and it wasn't the career that I dreamed of as when I was younger. But
yeah,
as the mother having to provide and having to put that roof over someone's head and being the sole responsibility of that financially, you do what you have to do, don't you?
Yeah.
So
your dreams got back at the front door, whichever one it is.
Yeah, they do, and I'll talk about it later. But looking back, they probably I could have done more, but I didn't, because I was so stuck in this. I have to get this paycheck at the end of the month. I have to pay the bills. I have to keep the roof over our heads. You know, I was tunnel visioned, whereas everything that I'd wanted as a child, my education, everything just went by the by, and I just put my head down to get through each day.
Yeah,
I didn't even learn to drive, nothing. It was all on her, you know. And as a mum, that's what we all know, and that's what we do instinctually. But I do wish that this is why I think social media is amazing, because I think if I'd have seen a lot of these podcasts and a lot of these people talking about their lives, I'd have had a bit more inspiration.
Yeah,
but I was literally head down doing me and nothing else, and I felt very alone as well in it, you know. And I still now, when I think about it, get that sick feeling in my stomach of that pressure.
Yeah.
You know, anxiety of providing all by yourself. So that's how it started anyway. Met my husband when Ella was 10. We were renting. We rented for a good, I think it was like, 9 years. And then we finally managed to save enough to buy our first house. So obviously I was well proud. It was on a little terrace street.
How old were you then?
13, 8, I'm going to say. Yeah, 38.
Yeah, how old
are
you now?
42.
Yeah, you're looking good, love.
Ah, I like you. that's what we did. Yeah, so where was I? So put me off now.
Sorry, compliments throwing you off. So you were 38, buying your first house.
Yeah, that was it. So yeah, 38, buying our first house, which I never dreamed we would. You know, I was that like low in confidence, and I was that, like I say, tunnel visioning, just paycheck to paycheck, living day to day, you know. And you see people, don't you? And then you start thinking when you're in your late 30s, well, look at these people with their big houses, you know, they've been on the property ladder since they were 20.
Yeah.
Together. And you just think you're never going to do it. And we did it, you know. And my husband, bless him, he worked so, so hard to do it. He worked nights, days, early mornings, weekends, every weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
What's he doing?
He's an aerospace engineer.
A what?
An aerospace engineer. He was at the time, but with COVID, he actually got made redundant and he lost his job. So he's now works for like a motorcycle company, a famous one. So he's loving it. He's loving life.
Hey. Yeah. What's aero? I don't know if I'm being daft. What's aerospace mean?
Do you know what I'm saying? Makes parts.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
I was literally sat thinking he was working for NASA there. I was thinking it meant space.
I thought he did. I'm really afraid of flying. And when we're on the flight, he's like, oh, for God's sake, these parts are tested. He knows everything about the aeroplane.
No, but the biggest question is, did he test the phalange? Is that
do you know what? I think he probably did. Yeah, that's what he thought. What he thought the aeroplane. So yeah, he worked so hard for us, and we had a little camper van that we used to go on as a lot of family holidays, and I'm still a bit gutted about this, but we sold it for our deposit, and
Instagram started.
So obviously I didn't want to bore all my friends and family with my house going on and on about it, but I needed to, and I needed to document it because it was, I don't know, I was just so happy, really. So I just started to get people following me. And then I became, because I'm like this anyway, I'm so interested in people's lives. So it became a little bit more about me. Started off about the house, and it became about my life. And my family sort of welcomed it and opened up to it. So we just started sharing our whole life on it, really. Everything we do, and people can resonate. And then I got so many messages going, how do you do this? Where do you find the confidence from? My house isn't big enough. It's not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I don't speak on the camera. All these things. And I'm like, why? You know, I'm nobody special. My house is on a terrace street. I look normal. I've got grey hair, all these things. why don't you? So I just started pushing the fact that I'm a real person.
Yeah.
I've got crooked teeth. I'm allergic to hair dye. So I've got naturally grey hair. All these things.
Yeah, is it natural, that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I thought it was like when people dye the hair grey, ash grey.
When it was growing out, and it was horrendous. I was really conscious of it and really bothered by it.
Oh, no, I love it.
I love it now, yeah, I do.
Gorgeous.
Like my glory.
It is. It's lovely.
Something happened to me. And then, obviously, I had an operation, which was huge. I lost my ovaries at 40. So
why did you lose your ovaries?
They thought I had ovarian cancer, so they had to take them out. So at 40, I went into menopause.
Did you?
Yeah. And that was a turning point in me where I thought, do you know what? Because obviously I thought I might die. I'd write letters to my kids.
Shut up.
No, I proper thought, yeah,
Was it cancerous when they took it out?
No, they took them out, and it was endometriosis and fibroids.
Never.
Yeah. So my CA125, which is a marker for cancer. There's no test for ovarian cancer. I'm massive on telling people this. So many people said to me, why didn't you get a smear test? Obviously, I got my smear test. I get it all the time when it's due. There's no test for ovarian cancer. It's all on your symptoms. So it's bloating, it's pain, irregular bleeding, all these things. Go and get it checked.
Yeah.
So when I was pregnant with Addison, I had a cyst on my ovary that burst. So I was quite, we knew they got them. My mum had ovarian cancer. My aunt had ovarian cancer and died.
Oh.
So it's a family thing, So obviously.
Oh, God, so I bet you did things the worst then.
Absolutely, yeah. I thought this must have, we've seen this cyst on my ovary or this mass, and it was complex. I'll be quick with this bit. You've got a cyst that's sort of like harmless and it's clear and it's see-through, then you've got cysts that are probably cancerous. They've got things in them. So they call them complex cysts, and I had one of those. So my CA125, the blood test that shows, that can show up ovarian cancer, was high. It should be under 30 at all times. Mine was 120. They scanned me, the cyst was full, so yeah,
get them out.
He was like, I said, what would you do? He says, you take them out. And then my husband was saying, look, at the end of the day, even if it isn't and you take them out, you're not going to face this again.
Yeah, it's like you've took out that risk.
Yeah, so that's what I did, and obviously this changed my life completely. I started fostering dogs. I wanted to do more. I suddenly looked at myself and thought, I've not done enough. I'm not who I ever wanted to be. And I think unless you've heard those words where you're actually faced with, might I die here, you won't get it. But that feeling just changed everything. And I just didn't care anymore. I just put everything out on Instagram. I love what I do and I'm not ashamed to do it, And I just think it resonated with people.
Yeah, you lost that. I don't know. I suppose sometimes we do it without even realizing that seeking approval from others. Is this okay? Should I put this? Are people going to think this of me? Really, you just thought, fuck them. I'll do what I want.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's, you hit the nail on the head. I proper did. And I just thought, you know, I'm not ashamed of anything. I'll just be who I am. And if people don't like it, they can unfollow me, can't they?
Yeah.
And they do. Don't get me wrong. They do. But that's what I always say. People say, you know, how do you cope with all the unfollowing? How do you cope with this and that? I said, I don't want them following me.
Yeah. You know,
I'm not there for numbers. I'm there for people. And I'm just generally there to hopefully make a difference in people's lives. And it sounds dead cliche, doesn't it? But it is the truth. It is what I wanted to do. And it's what you know, facing cancer, facing maybe you're going to die, all those things. What about my kids? It's just what I thought. I just thought I need to do more.
Give you like a realization of what's important.
Definitely, 100%. And then I just get so bothered by people that don't do things, you know, on Instagram. It's just such a shame. It really is, you know. Oh, well, I've not got a designer this or that. The other, I buy my stuff from B&M. Hello, we all love it. What's wrong with that? You know,
no, it's a very vain platform, isn't it? And I've done it loads of times. Loads of times I've thought, I want to say that, and I don't. Or like because sometimes as well, like you're talking about all these things like with your son and. Your ovaries, like I'm an insurance broker, that's what I do. So I do like life insurance, family cover. So sometimes I'm sat and I'm thinking.
I've seen it on your page, your insurance stuff.
Yeah. So like I've only just, I like sometimes I think and I think I want to say things, but I don't in case it like puts clients off or I don't in case people think this. And then the end of thing, like I started doing like the TikToks. So I thought, I don't care if you don't like it. There's plenty of other people who'll give you insurance. I don't need them. Like just be yourself and people. Yeah. Want to buy off people. And it's the same thing with like your Instagram, people who want to listen and want to look and see what you're doing. They're the type of people you want on the page, not people who are going to be bitches or nasty.
It's not about the numbers. I don't want people to be there that don't want to be there. Do you know what I mean? I only want people that are interested. And I'm also interested in them as well. It's not just all about me. I mean, and that's why I do something on the Sunday called the Big Friendly Follow. So I'm also sick of seeing people charging people to get likes and stuff. It drives me insane. So you've got all these sort of loops where, you know, you've got to go and follow 1,000 people, and if you don't follow these 1,000 people, you get nasty messages. And a lot of them were people with really early accounts, and they were doing it because they were afraid it was some kind, they thought it was some kind of thing you had to do on Instagram. So I try to change all that. You know, it's not fair. They're damaging people's accounts. You know, they're not going to get interaction, they're not following the right people, that kind of thing. So I do something called a Big Friendly Follow, which is basically just a big, like a telephone directory of accounts that want to meet other people that are similar to them.
Yeah.
Got really homes and that want to interact. So they all do it on a Sunday, and I call it the BFF, and that's like a big community.
Oh, that's mint.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And there's hundreds of people and they come every week to do it. And they just chat to each other. And I get messages all day long about, oh my God, this girl, I've met her on here. It's brilliant, you know. And during lockdown, I think it was priceless.
Yeah.
It really even was.
People like some social conversations.
Yeah, we're waiting for counting down. And yeah, it was amazing. So yeah, it just makes me happy. And that's simply
it's
it.
Funny, it's funny you should say that about that, because I'm going to do a little, I might just give it, I'm going to say it anywhere, probably shouldn't, but there's these websites where you can buy followers, isn't there?
I didn't know about them until like probably a year ago once people said they were doing it.
I'm going to do a thing on it because it's so, one thing I'm sure with lots of people will feel the same way, but when you're trying so hard to get something off the ground and you want people to believe in what you're doing, a lot of the time you judge, and I'm guilty for it, I've done it myself, you look and you go, how many followers do they have? Oh, well, I can't be that good then. Oh, they can't be that good then. Oh, well, they're not, you know. And it's like, you just automatically think like that. They can't be that successful because they haven't got that many followers.
Yes.
Well, hold on. That actually means fuck all, if I'm being totally honest, because what I do and how successful I am isn't monitored by how many followers I have. So there's a website that... There's a website that you can actually buy, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to buy these followers. You can buy 25,000 followers.
Wow.
£120. And I'm going to buy these followers. I'm going to put it up, and I'm going to do a full video on it and say, this is how much. It's bollocks. Because great. Now I'm on 27,500. Whoa.
Yeah.
That must mean I'm successful. No, it doesn't. I paid £130 to get all these followers so that everybody thinks that I'm successful. And
that's right.
Absolute bullshit.
So you're so right. You're so right. And I wish people would understand this. So what I do to make myself feel better sometimes, because we all do, you know, I sometimes think, God, am I not good enough? You know, for as much confidence and as much as I talk, you know, I talk the talk, there is days where I'm like, oh my God, I've lost like 40 followers today. I'm shit. Everyone hates me. You know, I'm dreaming. So I do look at these big accounts with these, and I look down their followers list, and I look at the people that are following them, and I'm like, yeah, right, these are not real people.
Yeah, they're just bought.
Yeah, and you can see the ones that aren't real because they've got
125 quid. I was like, I looked and I thought, £125. That's it.
Yeah. I've never even looked.
25,000 followers. Like, that is mental. And then it makes you think.
I always just think that you're going to get shut down.
How many of these people, how many of these big accounts that have got so much following have had this? Like, that's not. Bloody hell, there's plenty of accounts out there who've grafted their ass off and done it like naturally and organically.
It's taken me years, you see, to hit 30k this weekend, and I've been doing it for like 2-3 years.
Yeah,
it's a long run. Start below me and overtake me into like the hundreds, and I'm like, oh my God, what have they got that I haven't?
Yeah, but it's like you say, though, as long as you're doing, at the end of the day, as long as you're doing what you want to do and your reason why you're doing it, then that's all
I can only do me.
Yeah,
I can only do me, and I just hope that, and from the followers I've got, my followers are they're really loyal, and I hope I'm loyal back as well. A lot of these people, they'll say to me, oh, I can't believe you've messaged me, and I'm like, why? Hello, I'm a human. Why wouldn't I message you back? But some people, they don't even do that, because they think that they're, I don't know why they don't do it. I can't even comment on why other people do what they do.
I've got an idea of why, but...
Yeah, but for me, I can only do me, and I enjoy doing me, and I enjoy it. So, and what it's led to is obviously financial gain. I will talk about it, because people do seem to get sort of like, oh my God, that's an ad, I'm not liking it. Why not? Because it's a job. Yeah. You know, every now and then, for me to put the amount of effort I put into my account and to help other people, I have to justify it to my husband.
Yeah. You know, well, you have to justify that to yourself. It's your time, isn't it?
Yeah. But I do love it. So if I didn't get paid, I would still do it.
Yeah.
But to my family, I have to be like, well, I earned some money from it, didn't I? So you can't moan. Yeah. You know, and that's how we do it. So I've worked with some amazing brands. So I'm just so lucky. And now what it's led me to is I'm obviously passionate about it, and I obviously love it. And it's led me to managing other people's accounts. So like I've got to set my own business up. So although I've got a part-time HR job, which is my corporate job, I go to work, I earn the money. And I'm so proud of that, because obviously, like I said to you before, we'll go back in time a little bit. While Addison was sick, while he was in hospital, I was also doing a HR course to get myself qualified to a level 3 level. So I started in retail, obviously, but I obviously saw the HR people in retail and wanted to be them.
Yeah.
I thought, I need a career. I got to a stage, you know, I was 21, had my daughter. I always wanted to go to Sheffield Hallam, wanted to go to university, did nothing except look after her. And I got to an age where I started to panic. I thought, I've got no career. You know, I'd met Adam. So, that was my saving grace, really, because he allowed me to have. And when I say allowed me, I don't know what I mean, like in a male chauvinist way.
No, but he supported you.
Mind, I was allowed, because I could breathe, that somebody else was taking half the slack with me. I was allowed to go back and get myself a further education. I was allowed to get a career, which is what I really wanted.
But sorry to interrupt, but that's probably, like you said, where you wish you'd done it as a single mum. You probably could have done it, but you never had the confidence in yourself.
This is what I want to tell people. If I'd have done that, why couldn't I have done that while she was asleep at night? You know, why didn't I do it? Because I was that.
Yeah, because sometimes if you don't have it, it's not even a support. It's just having a cheerleader there saying, you can do it. You can do it.
That's exactly what I missed. I didn't have a great relationship with my parents. I was very alone. And I can look back and I see it. I was in such a tunnel of, get up, go to work, sort her out. Is she happy? Get up, go to work. Just got to keep paying that bill. Can't be a failure. Whereas if I'd have sat back a little bit, or somebody had said to me, you can do both, you know, but they didn't, and I didn't. And it's probably my biggest regret, because now where would I be?
You've learned it and you've changed it now, which is what's important. But it's good for people out there who might be thinking, as single parents, I can't do it, there's only me. You can do whatever the hell you want. You can do anything you want.
You really can. And it's just finding a way to work it. So there's always a different way to work things, I think. But it is hard, don't get me wrong, you know.
It's fucking rock hard. Absolutely. It's horrendous. It is like I was just, when before I met my husband, I was a single parent, and I was at uni and I was working, and it is hard. But like, I always just think, and you probably, it's a bit cliche, but there's always someone worse off than you. Whenever you think, oh my God, how can I can't possibly do this. Well, you can, because there's probably someone a hell of a lot worse off doing a hell of a lot more than you are. There's no excuses.
Always. And now in my life, because of like the cancer thing, I think to myself, because there was one lady that helped me through so much through the whole thing, and she lost her life just in lockdown. Oh. And I just think, my God, she what would she give just to do a few things I'm doing now? Do you know what I mean? And that is the difference. And we are only here such a short time. So the social media management came out of it. And now I manage a couple of accounts of people. I've set my own part-time. So I've gone part-time. I've gone self-employed, sorry, as well as, you know, my corporate job. And yeah, I'm managing accounts, doing what I love for other people. So it's just like, you know, it's just all working for me at the minute.
So now you're at a point that you're obviously in a good position and you're doing what you love to do. What would you say, like, throughout the whole journey has been the hardest part, like the hardest struggle?
Believing in myself. Yeah, definitely believing in myself the whole way through. And the mum guilt, it's got to be the mum guilt. It's horrendous on everything, isn't it? Are they eating right? Do they have enough baths? Do they, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And letting go of what other people think of you as a parent as well.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Do you know, we've all done the school gates, haven't we? How much horrendous. That first morning when your kids are going to school, forget the kids. The mum's at the gate.
Honestly, they're like, the. I don't even think it is as bad as you think, you know. You're just in your brain, you think it is like, my kids have just, we've just moved house and they've just started at a new school. And I genuinely felt nervous taking them, you know, because you're the new mum and the new kid. Yeah. And you're like, the other mums are talking and you're like,
I've been thinking about your kids with you. So I've got to go stand at the school.
Hi, I'm here. Hello. Like, can I be involved in it? And to be honest, I've always kept myself a bit separate from that because I don't know, it's sort of.
I have, yeah.
Because I'm not I'm proper stereotyping here, but because I'm not like a full-time mum, as in mum, I feel as if like I've got to like disassociate myself a bit from that, because it's almost like, oh well, they think, oh well, you work full-time.
Yeah, there's a divide, isn't there? I don't know whether the divide's in our own heads or it's real, I've not quite worked out, but
I think it's definitely it's in your brain. I think I'd like to think it is. I think it's just more like, it comes down to the mum guilt, doesn't it? That you feel like, oh, well, I can't. I'm probably not going to be one of the school mums because I work full time. I'm not, you know, I'm not, I don't get into that click type
not
thing.
Active, are you? Not so active in that parent role. I mean, God, my son, the screen time that I over allow him to have, the reading we don't do sometimes at night.
Don't, like the bedtime thing for me, like the bedtime book, I'm like, I haven't done that much. Like, I haven't. And even now, if I say, do you want to read a book? Like, Alba's just turned three. She's got loads of nice books. And I was like, should you read this book for bed? She went, no. No. I'm like, well, what am I meant to do? Am I meant to sit there and say, listen, like, she doesn't want to read the book. So, like, obviously, a tiny part of me has been like, yes. Like,
yeah, I know. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But she's not. She doesn't want to read a book. No, if she did want to read a book, I'd sit and read it with her. But if I said to Alba, should we do a bedtime? No. Mummy, I want to come and sit with you. You know, like, she's not bothered. Yeah, and when we were viewing the house, the woman who we bought it off was, you know, she was a bit well to do. And there's an aga. Have you seen agas before?
Yeah. You're cooking on that, aren't you?
Actual spaceships. I swear to God, like, God knows what it is. I've been in the house 12 days and I still haven't used it. Still.
Yeah, I wouldn't really use an aga.
So she was showing me round and like going on about the aga, bless her, and being like, oh, so this, I'm trying to put a posh voice on, this is where the scones are going. This is where the bread, and I'm sat in my head thinking, hon, where do the chicken nuggets go? Where do the chicken nuggets go? But I didn't dare ask. I thought she's going to think I'm a bad mum. And I did. I sat. And to this day, she left me aga books. None of the fucking books tell you where oven chips and chicken nuggets go. Yeah, but I'm like, oh my God, like, we need to understand how we use this aga to cook for the kids that isn't all homemade. And I still don't know because I didn't dare ask because I thought she's going to judge me and think I'm not a good mum. Yeah. And that's fucking ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, if kids want to go to McDonald's, fine. If your kids eat home-cooked meal from scratch every day, amazing. I can't do that. I'm just not that type. I can't. Yeah. I don't even home cook for myself from scratch. So I wouldn't have a clue where to start with the kids. I'd probably end up poisoning them. I'd do them worse off. So, but you do. You have this like thing in your head of, oh, I've got to be this certain. If I don't tick all these boxes that all these other people are ticking, then I'm not good enough.
Yeah, constantly. We're judging ourselves constantly, aren't we? And it's a huge thing. And yeah, I think social media is just opening people's eyes to the real side of it. You know, I don't change my child's bed every night. You know, and some of the people, you know, some of the things that people do or say they do just blows my mind sometimes. And it's just putting pressure on. And if you do that, fair enough, but you don't really have to go on and on about it because it's just putting pressure on people that just can't do things like that.
Yeah, it is. That's the difference, isn't it? Like you, like you said, you do you, that's fine, but it doesn't need to be where it's like, oh well, you know.
Yeah, I don't judge anyone for not doing me. That's probably the probably where I, you know, where I come across. I've had two kind of dodgy episodes on Instagram, but I don't even want to say it really because I'm going to get it happen to me. But I've not had one troll yet.
Haven't you?
No, not one.
What are the dodgy episodes? Tell me the dodgy episodes.
It's just where two people that I thought were sort of like really good followers became not very good followers. And I don't talk about it really because they're not important.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't go on about it. And I think what was happening was there was a lot of like sort of messages. And I think this happens to a lot of accounts where they've set these groups up and there's a lot of messages about you going on behind your back. And then when they don't talk to each other more, they send them to you. And I'm just not interested. I did that at school. You know,
the best thing to do with them, with any of them, like different platforms, like I use LinkedIn quite a lot. Like it's mental because you're following and things, like I said earlier, it doesn't really matter because what you might have 2,000 on one platform, you might have 20 on another. You know, just it depends which one works.
Yeah, my Facebook, I've got 145 followers.
Yeah, exactly. Like that doesn't mean that you're not good enough.
No. But
it's like for trolls or people who aren't being nice or just bringing negativity, just block them. You know, they're not bringing you a good vibe to your life. Why would you have a minute?
I see so many accounts that post about it on the stories. They talk about it for hours. You're giving these people airtime.
Yeah.
I block and move on. But maybe, I don't know why, but for touch wood, I'm sure it will happen, won't it? It's got to. But yeah, I've been lucky. And if I do have anything slightly a bit off, I just respond nicely.
Yeah. Kill them with kindness.
Yeah. Because that's just the way I am and that's who I am. So
where do you want to see it going then? Like, what's your vision? Like for like.
Well,
and by the way, why is it LOH?
So it started off being Love Our Homes, okay, but it was too. I'm more like lifestyle, so it was too like people were saying to me, "Oh, can I follow you? Because I'm not a home account. Can I do this? Because I'm not a home account." So I just changed it to the LOH. The people that follow me because of my home will know that it means Love Our Homes.
Yeah.
But I just sort of wanted to funk it up a little bit, and it Love Our. So it's LOH lifestyle.
Yeah.
Just to make people, just to be a bit more inclusive, really. So, yeah, that was it.
And someone at the door.
So, yeah, I didn't want to change my name completely because I'm known for that now. But I also wanted to be a bit more inclusive now of my life. So, yeah, changing it to lifestyle was a little bit better for me. Okay.
And what do you want to happen? What do you see happening?
That's a massive question, isn't it? I don't know. Because I do wing it every day. I would love, I suppose my dream in the world would be to be like a really successful social media manager. But I don't know. I just take every day and something new comes at me and I love what I do. So I am doing what I want.
Yeah.
To happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. All it comes down at the end of the day, you're only doing everything you're doing anyway to be happy. Or do you? If you're not, you're doing the wrong thing.
Yeah. And I probably want to have, I would love a bigger platform to raise more awareness on things that are really important to me, like the ovarian cancer thing, you know, making women's issues are massive to me, I think. And that's because, again, being a mother, we bury what our illnesses, we bury things that are wrong with us to look after other people.
Yeah, you don't prioritize yourself.
Yeah, so that would be, I suppose the way I'm going and what I do and what I talk about, my end goal would be to be able to raise loads of awareness and just to make people feel better about themselves. I know that with a lot of people that I've got followers, everybody's got a story and it's so interesting. And a lot of people do have invisible illnesses and are embarrassed by it. And I'd like to eradicate that in the ideal world. It's good.
Yeah, but that'd be good. And you've got a good base to do that, haven't you, with like the Instagram as it is.
Yeah, that's what I suppose. would be my dream. Yeah.
It would, and if your that. Children could learn anything from you, what would it be?
To be, it sounds such a cliche, but I think as you get older, you realise that the cliches that you're told when you're younger and you roll your eyes at become the reality when you're older. So yeah. I just want them to be who they want to be.
Just be themselves.
Yeah.
It's all that matters, isn't it? They're just themselves, because if they're themselves, they're happy.
I just think if you are yourself, you'll get through life a lot better. You know, keep it real, they say. And believe in yourself. That's huge as well. You know, believe in yourself. Like with my daughter, she's managed to save loads of money for her house. And at the beginning of that, when she had none to save, she didn't believe that she could be here. And now when we talk about it, she's like, I can't believe it. You know, just having that belief that she can drive. She's got a really nice car. She's going to buy a house. She's only 21. And I've enabled her, I hope. And my husband says I have. I've enabled her to do that. And the right guidance. So, yeah, just for her at 21, soon, you know, to soon own a brand new car, own our own house, you know, but hopefully we're aiming for like 22, 23.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's going to be huge compared to my journey. So, yeah.
And like you said earlier, though, like I've seen this quote a lot where it's, you know, someone did the first house at 49, someone did the first house at 21. It doesn't matter as long as you're doing it. You know, everyone's timeline's different.
But obviously, we've built that house now that we had and bought a bigger one.
Yeah.
We've made a lot of money doing it. We did it all up ourselves. We're now where we probably would have been if we'd have done it in our 20s.
Yeah, so, like everyone's story is different and has a different way through it. But people, like for me, like one thing I've took from this with you is if you don't have a cheerleader, find someone that people are nice. You know, there is people out there who will help you or give you belief, even if it's a podcast, if it's a webinar, or I don't know, just a connection on Instagram.
Yeah.
There is nice people out there who will help you and give you the kick up the arse you need.
Probably the best thing that's been said. Yeah, you know, there are nice people out there. A lot of people think that people are in it for themselves a lot, or I hear that a lot. I hear people say, oh, you know, you've got to look after yourself, you can't be nice, and that makes me sad.
No, just, bollocks.
We can't live like that, can we?
No, be nice. I just treat people how you want to be treated. That's, you'll never go wrong in life if you do it like that.
Absolutely is, yeah. And it's karma, it comes back.
Oh gosh, yeah, I'm a big believer in karma. You could see the amount of crystals and Buddhas in front of me right now.
I'm too busy looking at that nice garden behind you.
I don't. Like I said to you, the lighting is terrible and my social media are going to go mental because it's shit. But I can't, I'm terrible, me. I can't work this tech out. I'm absolutely shocking, but never mind. So where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
So yeah, on my Instagram is the best place really. So that's LOH_lifestyle. I try. Obviously, there's sometimes I can't always answer my DMs, but it's very rare if I don't. So yeah, just come along, say hi, and follow my journey. And then, you know, hopefully I get what I do is I don't follow everybody back. Because I'm not a follow for follow account, but what I do is when I get to know people, I do that. And once I've built a connection and a relationship, and I know that they're there not just to get something from me, which happens a lot, unfortunately. That's when I do. You'll see, like I follow like 3,500 people. I'm not too proud to follow. That's another one with a zero followers.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today, Rebecca. It's been amazing. And hopefully we'll stay in touch.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to the Money Making Mothers podcast with Carla Edwards. If you have enjoyed the show, then leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Make sure to tune in next time. And don't forget, you can have it all.